are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here on a Tuesday. We bumped Nick Winkler up. Winky Wednesday is not going to happen this week. It's going to be a weekly wink, is what we call it when it's not on Tuesday, because there's no good things to rhyme with Tuesday. Unless, Nick, you can think of something. Nick is out there. He's waiting for me to make his sounder before he can actually officially come onto the show. I always make sure he does not speak until he hears his intro music. So, Nick, I know you want to talk. Don't talk quite yet. So he's going to join me today instead on Tuesday as we get ready for 49ers training camp to open on Thursday. Rookies and veterans both reporting, hopefully all of the rookies reporting on Thursdays. I guess we'll have to get into a little bit of that today and dip into that Locked On 49ers mailbag. Of course, you can find this podcast on your favorite podcast app. If they have an ability to rate and review, that always helps as well to drop a 5-star there. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can email LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And you can find everything you need related to the podcast at LockedOn49ers.com. And if you have any tax needs, I recommend Greg's Tax Service. 25 years in business. They are honest, straightforward, can help clients with every kind of tax problem there is. Unfiled returns, back taxes, IRS collection problems, they can represent you in an audit. Give Greg's Tax Service a call. You can also find them on their website, gregstaxservice.com. And now, let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
What's happening, man? We're
hey,
a day
buddy,
early.
Yeah.
What's your life like on a Tuesday?
Well, it's an off Tuesday. I work every other Tuesday. So today was swimming with my son, taking my son to Target, which is like his favorite place in the whole world. And then taking a nap while my son took a nap, which is just the best thing in the world. Midday naps. Oh, yeah. And yeah, we got to bump up this week because my obsession with Jack White. So I'm going to see the Raconteurs. So,
that sounds fun.
Yeah, we got it. Twinkie Tuesday.
I'm a little disappointed that you have priorities that rank higher than Locked On 49ers.
But yeah, unfortunately. Well, luckily, I have such an awesome host to this show who allows me to have a flexible schedule. Tell you what a good boss I've got.
I just like being able to have one show a week where I don't have to do much work because you do all the blabbering for me.
I do blabber. I mean, that's kind of my thing. I've been told that I'm very loud and that I talk a lot. I've been told that a lot.
Which is why you sound so good on the air.
Which is why my kids yell and blabber a lot.
Oh, yeah. Some future broadcasters there in the house, I bet.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm going to take them away from that.
July 26th, Thursday. Are you ready for camp?
We're so close, I can taste it, man. I'm so excited. This is very, very good news. Also, some cool news, dude. Navarre Bowman signed today.
Yes. He officially signed his contract. His one-day contract with the 49ers can now retire as a San Francisco 49er, as he should.
As he should, exactly. Yeah, and man, training camp right around the corner. It's just a good time.
Yeah, we're only about less than 20 days away from the first preseason game on August 10th versus the Cowboys. Then
it's wild.
August 31st, that's when the rosters get cut down. Training camp's actually really short. It seems like it's this big month-long thing. It's really not. It's a couple of weeks, and all of a sudden, boom, it's go time.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Also, Brick by Brick coming back. I saw a little preview for that it will be back for another season, so that's going to be fun.
Excited for some slow motion highlights.
Some soft knocks.
Yeah, some soft knocks taking place in Santa Clara. It's fun, though. I like it.
It is. I love it.
Let's see. So one thing I want to clear up before we get going here. Obviously, I talked about rookies and veterans reporting on the same day on Thursday. Both of the 49ers' first two draft picks still haven't signed. Nick Bosa, number two overall, obviously, and then second rounder Debo Samuel. And they're both represented by CAA, if I'm not mistaken. And CAA was the agency that represented Nick's brother, Joey Bosa. I talked on yesterday's show about how Joey did not sign his rookie deal until August 29th, I think it was. And then he pulled his hamstring shortly after and missed the first four games of the season. And definitely something that you don't want to see repeat itself with little brother. He's already gone through his soft tissue injury, hopefully in the spring, and he's expected to be ready to go when camp starts. if he's signed his contract. And so, you know, if it's a day or two that he misses, it's not a big deal at all. But when he comes in is the key. And I talked a little bit about offsets and bonus money and how things can work in negotiations. I don't think I explained it very well. So the offsets are basically when a player can double dip or not. So, for example, right. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, they have 6-year contracts and it's guaranteed. So they could get fired tomorrow, go get hired by another team and still get paid by the Niners and their new team. And so a lot of times in these rookie deals, you know, the agents obviously for their players want them to be able to double dip. If something does go wrong, they end up getting cut or whatever or hurt and end up on another team. And so, you know, the signing team would rather not let them do that and have to pay them if they do go end up signing somewhere else after they get cut. And you hope that that would not be the case ever anyway. And so I think with the number two overall pick, I think the 49ers would eventually concede that if that's something that they're fighting over. But I thought there was something interesting that I saw today about Quinnen Williams, who was the third pick, the pick right after Nick Bosa from the New York Jets. And one of the holding points on their contract is that right now, and it's just some things you don't really think about and how, you know, because you know how much money they're supposed to get, you know how much money right. yearly, how much bonus money. But for Quinnen Williams, he's currently a resident of Alabama. And so if he gets his bonus money structured in a way where he gets more now than later, he will take home more money just because he'll make about $100,000 more because he's an Alabama resident versus getting taxed in a New York bracket if he gets more of his signing bonus later. So that's an area where they're going to, you know, go head to toe with things. And it might be the same with Nick Bosa. And so there's just a lot of different ways that, you know, just the way it's structured, the way it's worded, offset language, bonus structure. There's a lot of things that they could quibble over. It's very small things, really, ultimately. And you hope he's great. So you hope you don't have to worry about any kind of offsets because he should be with the 49ers for the long haul, or at least throughout his rookie contract, right? So those are just some of the things that they might be negotiating, and hopefully it's not something that's prolonged, and both Nick Bosa and Deebo Samuel will be in camp within the first couple of days.
Yeah, it's definitely not time to panic. You know, it is time to talk about it, though. I like where your head's at. You kind of explaining possibilities. It might be this, it might be that. It might be something we haven't even thought of. I mean, that's where these crazy contracts get going. You know, there's so many little things here.
Right.
And
yeah,
things
I didn't even
there.
Think about the Alabama thing and yeah. where you're located and where you're resident.
You hear it in baseball a lot where guys like, oh, I'm not going to sign in California. Too much taxes. You know, it's like, I'm going to go to Texas instead.
Because there's some players that like Richard Sherman represented himself. No yeah. way I would ever do that. Not because I'd be afraid of losing money, just because there's too much to know. And it's like, I would want an accountant and I'd want a tax guy and I would want, I'd call up Greg's tax service. And I'd be like, dude, I need everything. I need every team member to help me out as far as the money side goes and figuring those things out. And then, I'll figure out the rest.
And maybe he does have a whole team. You know, it's just the agent part that he kind of took over. So didn't have to pay that big lump to just, you know, one guy or one organization, you know, when it's just a negotiation thing, you know.
Right.
When he's got a guy going, you know, he goes in there with a whole book full of stuff to talk about because, you know, his lawyer and his accountant and, you know, all these people have already done all that homework ahead of time and he studied and he's ready to go. I mean, let's not forget, dude went to Stanford, all right? He's a smart guy.
The other thing is, you kind of hire the agent to be the bad guy for you and look out for you in a way that the agent doesn't care.
Right.
The agent doesn't have to live where you live. The agent's trying to get the dollars for their own pocket as well as you. So the bottom line is going to help you both. But if it was up to the player, in most cases, they're competitive. And as soon as the team starts practicing, they'd be like, all right, let's just sign this and go. You know, they would cave. And so you kind of need that agent sometimes.
That's a good call. Yeah. Kind of just to help you keep you from yourself, from hurting yourself in the long run.
And I can understand why, because fans are more united with the team than the player in most cases with this. But you can see why, you know, you can side with the player. It's okay in these kind of situations. And it's not
right.
like, and you can understand where both sides are coming from and nobody wants to get screwed. But sometimes like with the Chargers, it's like, what were you doing? They didn't help themselves at all with the Joey Bosa situation. And
right.
and who knows, maybe they heard it in the long run where Joey Bosa is like, okay, you know, I'll remember this when my rookie contract's over. And then, you know, maybe I'll end up playing somewhere else.
Yeah, and, even if it's a similar deal.
Right.
Go somewhere else just because there's some bitter taste still.
Yeah, and what's, you know, what's 100K? I mean, for you and I, 100K, I mean, like, for you, 100K is a lot. For me, you know, maybe not as much. But
it's like a couple weeks work, man.
For these teams and sometimes the players and agents, 100K might not seem like a lot, and it's not a big deal. And so it's not even worth quibbling over if it's going to, you know, hurt your career in the long run, or, you know, not allow you to have a good season, because you want to have as many good seasons in a row for your next contract.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Quality of life plays a big role in decisions like that. And I know some people, well, it's all about money, you know, but others it's little things like, you know, like, you know, more security, you know, maybe it is all about, you know, tax purposes and things like that. But I when it just gets breaks down to it, we're talking about Bosa and we're talking about Samuel. I really think they're going to get both of those done. You know, this is an organization right now that's kind of been in a free fall. You know, they're trying to pull themselves out of it. They're going to the, you know, they really want to make sure that Lynch and Shanahan work, you know, and I don't think that Prague's going to do anything to jeopardize that. I think he's on the same page as them. And he's going to do what it takes to get these guys in there, especially when you're talking about a team that still has a bunch of money available under the cap. You know, I know that they got some names that they're going to need to sign in the offseason and get some big contracts to. But at the same time, like, you got to get your guys into camp. You got to get them practicing, especially when you're talking about a guy who may be a franchise changer in Nick Bosa. I mean, let's be real. If this guy's out there and, you know, he's getting 15 sacks a year, like, that could put this team on a path straight to the postseason.
Right. And I think the best thing for the 49ers and 49ers fans that should calm you thinking about, okay, oh man, this could be a prolonged thing with Nick Bosa. How about this? There's a lot of talk about Joey Bosa and how that went with a different team. The 49ers just signed a number 3 overall pick a couple years ago in Solomon Thomas, who's represented by CAA, the same agency. So they got that deal done. Not a big deal. And I fully expect to be the same deal with Nick Bosa.
Yep, on board.
Let's take a quick break here, a message from our sponsors, and then come back with some Locked On 49ers mailbag. Are you losing sleep at night over your unfiled tax returns or the large amount you owe the IRS or any other state tax agency? Does it feel like you're trapped and that these tax problems will never go away? Are you worried the IRS will garnish your bank account or your wages? Be free and put these tax problems behind you. Greg's Tax Service is your local tax resolution specialist. Greg's Tax Service has been in business for over 25 years and is passionate about helping clients resolve their tax issues and get them all the deductions and credits they are entitled to when preparing their tax returns. Call or text Greg's Tax Service at 925-778-4871 to set up an appointment to find out the best options available to free you from your tax problems. Again, that's 925-778-4871, or make an appointment online at gregstaxservice.com. And if you qualify, they can help you settle with the IRS for less than the full amount you owe. Remember, Greg's Tax Service, for all your tax needs, Greg's Tax Service is your local tax advocate, standing up and defending the rights of taxpayers. We got an email from Paul. It was actually from last week, but it kind of goes hand in hand what's happening this week with the opening of camp. Paul says, I'm going to training camp this year for the first time. What types of things should I be looking for in these practices? And it got me thinking, not even so much like on that level of what to be watching in practice, but, and I asked about it on yesterday's show, Nick, I wanted to ask you the same thing that I put out there on Twitter is, what are you looking for in training camp? What's the thing you're most excited to see in camp, whether it be a camp battle or whatever?
Yeah, I want to see the wide receiver battle. I really want to see who shakes out, you know, who's legit, who they're going to keep, you know, who's making the tough catches, who's blazing past Richard Sherman on the first day of camp, and, you know, stuff like that.
I'm with you, man. The wide receiver group is the most intriguing to me, just because it can go in so many different directions, and you hope that it's a group that can help the 49ers light up the scoreboard a little bit. They need to put the ball in the end zone.
They really do, you know, and I want to see the running back battle too. I mean, that's going to be cool. I mean, I don't think it's so much a battle as it is it's going to be just a running back by committee. I really think they're going to really just eat, you know, pass that thing around and hopefully nobody gets hurt, and they can do that all season by lightening the load on everybody and maybe ride the hot hand in certain games and stuff like that. So it's going to be cool to see those guys out there. You know, I'm a defense guy too. So I just want to see Fred Warner. Like, I just want to see him out there running around. I want to see who's back there, you know, in alongside Richard Sherman or opposite Richard Sherman. You know, I want to see what Verrett's got. You know, there's so many things going on. There's so much. I want to see Jimmy G. How's he moving around? How's he looking in the pocket? Even though there's no rush, like, what's his arm accuracy like? Does he have the arm strength still? And yeah, there's, oh man, I want to see the punter too. I want to see, you know, I want to see Mike Wazowski out there, you know, Mitch, with his one eye.
Mitch was now, what'd you call him? Oh yeah, Mike Wazowski. That's from,
Monsters, Inc.
Monsters, yeah. Inc. Right. I still haven't seen that, but I've heard the reference so many times now. I feel like I.
Don't worry. Once Leo gets a little bit older, it's a good one for the youngins.
Yeah, I'm definitely not in a hurry to start watching the children's programming.
Don't worry. You're going to be locked in, dude.
But he's got his own login now for Netflix. We're ready for it.
Oh yeah, that's great.
it's funny because the wide receiver and running back groups, they're both nice and deep. The way I look at them both is so different. I really view the running back group as like, okay, how can I get an edge in fantasy football leagues? Like,
right.
Which guy's going to blow up? Which guy? You hope that he's the one that stays healthy because whoever gets hurt first, someone else has a chance to jump in there and take most of the carries. And we saw it happen with Breida. And so Breida's the one because he's the guy that goes last in drafts. And I'm like, and even if I was to get, say, Coleman in my fantasy league, I'm still drafting Breida late because he's criminally underrated around the league. And he's going so late because, you know, McKinnon and Coleman got paid more and they have a little bit bigger names in the NFL. But none of them have run the ball as well in the NFL or under Kyle Shanahan as Matt Breida does. So that's the way I look at it with the running back group. And then with the wide receiver group, I really think about it differently. I think about how they're going to be integrated into the team and how they are going to develop chemistry with Garoppolo. And so I really think of those two things very differently for whatever reason.
Yeah, you know, I didn't get into the Scott Fishbowl, but I got into the Scott Fishbowl satellite, which is best ball. So I have drafted I drafted McKinnon late. I drafted Deebo Samuel late. You know, I'm getting these guys that it's like maybe, you know, because it's best ball. So you don't need to worry about it too much. You know, you just hope that one of your guys goes off 1 week. So I feel like that running back group, especially those three guys, like in a best ball format, though, you could go with any of them and just be happy.
It's funny. In my Scott Fishbowl draft, I ended up with Deebo too at the very end, at the second to last round. And it's just because he's too talented in an offense where he could put up numbers, and especially late in the season. Even if you saw like last year how Dante Pettis, it was an up and down year, kind of got banged up. But at the end of the year, he was legitimate. And so that could definitely, you know, that's sort of the rookie curve. And all of a sudden when it hits, it hits. And once you've got a guy, then, you know, your money there. So it might not be until the last half of the season, but he could be a real weapon. And basically in those drafts, if nobody knows what the Scott Fishbowl is, it's sort of an industry, really big league. And, you know, it's like 1,000 teams in it now. I think there was about 600 the first year I was in it. And it's so deep with the draft, you're almost drafting the first round of waivers already. So you're kind of looking ahead, which I love because you're picking up the guys on waivers late in the draft that you're hoping are the players who end up being the ones that you would be going after on waivers once you start, you know, getting into week 1, 2, 3.
Right. You're looking at like handcuffs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where
deep
even handcuffs. If it's not your guy, yeah, you're going after other guys.
Absolutely. It's a fun league. It's definitely a fun league. I'm glad you got in the satellite. That means you are going to get in the big one next year, right?
I sure. Well, if I win,
you have to win to get in.
That's the goal. Yeah.
Is it only first place that gets in?
I think so. I think he'll give a lot of seconds if they did well. But yeah, I think it's a win and you're in kind of deals.
Oh, and by the way,
crossed.
To answer Paul's question here about training camp, specifically when you're there and you're watching training camp, forget about the ball and watch those matchups. So
yes,
because it happens quick and they bounce around in different drills and different units and they're on and off the field and it can just be a whirlwind and you're just kind of like watching, you're following the ball and sometimes you see a big play or a big catch. But I would just focus on the players you want to see and the matchups you want to see. So watch Nick Bosa line up on the defensive line. Watch his one-on-ones with whoever he's battling on the defensive line. You know, watch Deebo, watch Dante Pettis and watch them from the snap all the way through the route and to the ball and don't really worry about where the ball's being thrown, where the ball is. That's would be my recommendation because you get a little bit better, you know, a vantage point of scouting the player and you get a better idea of what's happening when you just focus on one thing and watch it throughout the play or watch one player or one matchup throughout practice more so than following the ball because it can get hectic and you end up not really even remembering what you saw because you're just like, you know, you see some flash plays that everyone claps for when someone makes a diving catch or whatever, but then you don't really grasp anything else that happened that was nuanced in practice that you might have missed.
And bring some binoculars too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And water and hats.
Yes. And sunblock.
Exactly.
And me, pick me up on the way.
And pick up Nick on the way. And,
we'll stop and get a burrito on the way.
Yeah. And yeah, before you pick up Nick, make sure you got a burrito or pizza and beer first.
Yeah. Lots and lots of all of the above or a hot dog. Not in a gelatin.
If you pick me up, don't get a hot dog.
If you got a hot dog, just keep driving.
I won't get in the car. I'll smell it. It's like, nope, I'm not. I know there's a hot dog in here. I'm not getting in. Oh, and Paul also has a question here. Is this the same Paul? I don't know. I have it. I don't have it in the email. Actually,
today is the day of Paul.
Paul, you're going to double dip. We didn't have any offsets in your contract, so you are going to. You're going to get a double dip situation here. He said, great episode last week. Thank you so much, Paul. Trivia was awesome and super fun to play along with. My question this week, my wife and I are expecting our first child this August.
Ooh.
What piece of advice would you give to new parents expecting a baby boy based on your experience with young Leo and for Nick? Two babies. He's been through this a couple of times. He is a grizzled veteran at this point. Also, how many days or weeks old should my kid be before it's socially acceptable to bring him to Levi's Stadium? I'm guessing week one is pushing it.
Yes, that is pushing it. I would wait till year one of the baby's life. Not the first year, but after the baby is one, I might even wait longer. Make sure you get those headphones too. But my advice to you right now in July, go see movies, go out to eat, do all the things that you love to do that people that don't have kids do, because once that baby comes, that stuff's going to be really, really, they're going to be few and far between. Also, sleep as much as you possibly can, because right, that's going to go bye-bye.
And you can't bank sleep, unfortunately. But
no, yeah.
My recommendation, and Leo's already turned one, I wouldn't dream of taking him to a stadium this season. Like, no way. He's not going to enjoy it. He doesn't know what the heck's going on. It's going to make it worse for me at the same time. Wait, put something in your savings account so you can afford more tickets later when he's old enough to start to know what's going on and have a really good time. That's what I would say. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's nice to be like, hey, we took you to the game when you were 3 months old and you saw so-and-so play. I would wait. Wait on that. And yeah, week one is going to be rough because a two-week-old baby's probably not going to do well at the stadium. And yeah, they have to eat like every 5 seconds. It's like, come on.
Plus, if you're in the sun, that just isn't good for your baby.
No.
No, but for me, yeah, my daughter's almost six, so I think it's about that time. Like, I feel like she'd enjoy it. You know, she watches with me at home. She kind of gets what's going on. I would definitely wait if you could.
And it sounds like your son would be a candidate to go with you to the concert or maybe go see Pearl Jam. He's singing Pearl Jam at our house already. I love that.
Yeah, he's so into it. Daddy, put on I'm Still Alive. Oh, I. Oh, man, you're the best.
That's hilarious. All right, we got to take a quick break. More Locked On 49ers coming up. Let's go to Gotham. Our guy, via email, he says, hello, Leo, Nick, and Brian, and to all Niners fans. So, yeah, these greetings are getting longer and longer, saying hi to the whole fam and the Niner fam.
Yeah, I'm
getting second billing now. Great. I was third billing there. Leo doesn't know what's going on. He's not listening to this podcast. He's in bed. He says, I have two questions. One, system versus player. The West Coast offense gives little options for the quarterback to change plays to the line of scrimmage. Do you think this system limits the growth and development of a quarterback? For example, diagnosing the defense and changing plays. And two, a couple of years ago, you and Nick drafted the all-time Niners squad. How about drafting an all-time NFL players squad?
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, that would be fun. We'll put that on the docket for next offseason. Now that it's coming to an end and we have a lot of football to talk about, we don't need to go there, but maybe the all-time NFL draft could be next offseason. As far as system versus player, I think the West Coast offense gives the quarterbacks plenty of – I mean, it depends on the coach, really, because it's not really the offense that Aaron Rodgers played in the West Coast offense, and he practically ran the offense, if you listen to some people. And then some people would say he changed every call because he hated Mike what's his name's calls?
McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy's calls. Yeah, he hated his calls. He wanted to change them all. And there's somebody who's saying he didn't throw to certain receivers if they ran McCarthy's routes. It's like just crazy stuff. I'm like, what are you talking about? I think there's enough. I do think Shanahan does want it done his way.
Yes.
And so maybe in his particular version of the offense, there's less opportunity. And maybe if you know, I think the more veteran of a quarterback you are, the more in lockstep you are with your coordinator, the more reign you would have and the more knowledge you would have to be able to change plays. But I think a lot of times in the NFL now, there's pretty much two plays built into every play. So you can almost change every single play to at least the next option and not necessarily call your own audible and call your own play at the line of scrimmage, but you have something to check in and out of.
Well, I feel like, too, when it comes to Shanahan, like, his plays are so in-depth and there's so much to them. Like, yeah, if you get up to the line of scrimmage and you read what a defense is doing, yeah, maybe that takes away your first option or your second option. So just look to your third immediately, you know? Like, as long as you know what's going to be happening, where everybody's supposed to be, and everybody's on the same page, and everybody is where they're supposed to be, I feel like you can run a play no matter what. You know, there's somebody's going to be open in a Kyle Shanahan scheme. You just got to find them.
And so much is going on there, and he likes not only the quarterback, but he wants every receiver to run the route a certain way because it's drawn up a certain way to create whatever he wants. And also, like you mentioned, it depends on what the look you get because he doesn't know what defense is going to be called. He can kind of guess and call something that he likes against a certain defense. But if you're showing, you know, if he thinks he's going to get a cover two look and he gets cover three or he gets, you know, something else, then that changes where the reads are and changes where the quarterback's going to go with the ball pre-snap. So there's so much that can change on one play. And I think there's just a lot to be gained just with experience with a play caller and a coordinator and a quarterback. And so even this year, I think should be a big jump for Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think even next year, there's going to be another jump because there kind of has to be.
Well, I just think that every year you learn a little bit more, you kind of know a little bit more, you feel much more comfortable. And I almost don't want him changing plays at this point. Like Kyle called it for a reason, you know, when you've been in this system for a long time, then, you know, like Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. You give Aaron Rodgers that. Tom Brady wants to get up to the line and change a play. You let him do it. You know, but just to be real, Garoppolo's not on that level yet.
And for a young quarterback, they probably don't want it themselves.
Right.
Their head's kind of spinning as it is.
Sure.
let's finish this thing off with Trevor. He says, keep killing it with the Daily Pod. It's crazy how well you've been able to keep churning out content during the dead zone of the NFL season. Thanks, Trevor. I appreciate that. It is difficult sometimes in the offseason to think about content and get everything going. But he has a question about the defensive scheme. He says, I was wondering if we can expect to see more man-to-man coverage this year with the slight shift away from the original Seattle scheme. If so, what implications could this have for Sherman versus the other younger, more athletic corners on the roster?
Yeah, I think we might. I mean, it's definitely possible. And I'm not worried about Richard Sherman. I'm not. You know, he proved to me last year that, he didn't have his full burst of speed, but, you know, he's another year removed from that devastating injury. So hopefully he gets another half step back or another step back, and he's back to being where he was before he left.
And he might actually be faster this year than he was last year, which would be really nice for him. And, there might be a play or two throughout the season where someone blows by him and there's no safety help
the
over the top.
Yeah.
But that's going to happen. And if it only happens a couple times that's not going to happen unless the guys on the other side prove that they're up to the challenge. But the 49ers last year played better when they had more man calls than zone calls. So I think that's maybe why the writing was on the wall. And they got, the wide nine coming to town. They got the new defensive line coach. They got the new defensive backs coach. So it's definitely going to look different, but it's still Robert Saleh calling the plays. And so we'll see how often they do change it up. But if you ask Robert Saleh, he says it's still the same scheme. So I think it's going to be predominantly still that cover three stuff, but they just might mix it up more often, which is good. Keep the offenses guessing and be able to do multiple things and put pressure on different teams. You might have to scheme it up differently.
And that you said it right there. I really think the key to this season for the 49ers and success is pressure on the quarterback. And they just need to get more of it. And they definitely addressed it in the offseason, and hopefully it all pans out.
Yeah, and it has to be because that's the way they've built this roster.
Sure.
Real quick, shout out to Tyrone. He's probably the most consistent emailer. He's always getting in on these mailbags, and I don't get to his questions every time. But shout out to Tyrone, who's always there for us here on the email portion of the mailbag. He says, "What's up, BP? What's up, King Leo? What's up, Wink? Over under 30 sacks for the team for our 49ers this upcoming season. If over, who will be the first with 10 sacks? Ford, Buckner, or Bosa? Or somebody else?"
Over, and it's going to be Buckner.
Okay, it's kind of right with what we were just talking about. If the 49ers are going to be good, they're going to get after the quarterback.
Yep.
And if they're going to get after the quarterback, it's probably going to be a whole bunch of those guys getting after him, namely Ford, Buckner, or Bosa. You got Buckner?
He got a lot of double teams last year. He's not going to get a whole lot of that this year. Yeah,
that's true.
Buckner having a huge year.
And he's just asking for the first to get to 10 sacks because obviously all three of them are going to have 10-plus sacks.
Oh, no doubt. There might even be a fourth or fifth guy in there.
I'll take Ford.
I like it.
Yeah, I'll take Ford just because he was probably the best edge rusher in the NFL last year. If you're looking at how many pressures he had and looking at PFF grades and things like that. So if he can follow that up again, so needed for the 49ers defense. It's going to be fun to watch those guys having a race to the quarterback. See who gets there first, man.
Yeah, it's getting close too. It's coming.
Yeah, Ford's got that extra step. So that's why I think he might win that race.
All right.
All right.
Coleman's still beating out Breida, just so you know.
It's Coleman 1, Breida So Breida's going to be the change of pace guy for first and second down, and then you've got McKinnon on third downs. Is that what we're going to be doing?
McKinnon on thirds, yeah.
Okay. Yep. It's not a bad guess. That's probably the way I would draw it up for Vegas.
Yeah, they probably did.
But that can all change very quickly.
No doubt about it.
Nick, thank you so much for joining the show once again.
My pleasure, bud.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back tomorrow. Not a Winky Wednesday, but we'll have something fun to talk about right here on Locked On 49ers.
See ya.
Boom.